Good morning, welcome everyone. I'd like to call to order the regular session meeting of the Arizona Board of Athletic Training on May 5th, 2025 at 9:31. Roll call. Mr. Boffman. Cheryl Ingram here. Seth Myers.
Here.
Susie Squires.
Here.
Joanna Yukiro.
Here.
Shannon Ganatra.
Here.
I see she's there. Okay. Alaris Selman.
Present.
And Mr. Mark Harris.
Present.
Item number three, are there any declarations of conflict of interest at this time?
This is Susie. I do have one, but I saw Carrie raise her hand.
I would just like to say I'm present.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Carrie.
So this is Susie. I have a recusal for item 7B, and I submitted the form as well via email, and it's regarding Carter Burrow, Rebecca Halstead, and Emma Nettles.
Thank you, Ms. Squires. I did receive your confirmation this morning. Ms. Squires, just if you can please recuse yourself, we do have a quorum. So you can recuse yourself during the entire matter.
Perfect. Item number four, discuss, amend, and approval of minutes of the regular session meeting of April 14th, 2025. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Seth on a motion to approve the regular session meeting minutes of the board meeting that took place on April 14th, 2025.
This is Susie, I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Seth Myers.
Aye.
Susie Squires.
Aye.
Joanna Yukiho.
Abstain.
Thank you. Item number five, review of future board meetings. Before we get started, the June 2nd meeting, I would like to propose moving that June 2nd meeting to June 16th so that we can have all board members present. Are there any conflicts with anyone on the 16th of June?
No.
Okay, so Ms. Shannon, we'll make that change to move that meeting to the 16th of June. Are there...
Ms. Ingram, memorialize that with a vote.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
Oh,
I think everybody's muted.
We may just need to do a first and a second on the motion and then do an all those in favor.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of moving the June 2nd meeting to June 16th?
So, Ms. Ingram, I believe you moved to move the meeting. And is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay.
All those in favor?
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Seth Myers?
Aye.
Susie Squires?
Aye.
Joanna Yukiho?
Aye.
Thank you, Ms.
Okay, thank you, Machina. And then are there any other conflicts on that July 7th or August 4th meeting date?
I have no conflicts. This is Susie, but since we're discussing upcoming board meetings, I just wanted to make a note. I might be requesting a special meeting prior to the next scheduled date, but I'll follow up separately with that.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Squires, if you can just let me know since we have to coordinate that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, item number six, review and discussion and possible action on complaints, hearings, investigation, or compliance. 6A, complaints, none. 6B, actions on complaints, none. 6C, compliance of board orders, none. 6D, self-disclosures, none. So we will move to number seven, consent agenda to review consideration and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. Is there a motion?
This is Seth. I motion to approve the consent agenda as presented in agenda item 7A and 7B.
This is Joe. I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda item number 7A, 7B, and 7C, which there is none. All those in favor?
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Seth Myers.
Aye.
Susie Squires.
Recuse.
Joanna Urquijo.
Aye.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded and approved. Item number eight. Review and possible action on applications for licensure. Ms. Kanatra, can you give us an overview, please, for Mr. Todd Pandrich, ATR 000942.
Absolutely, Ms. Ingram. I pass that over to Ms. Watkins to provide a brief overview of what was provided in the board materials. Ms. Watkins.
Good morning. Mr. Pandrich's reinstatement application was reviewed during the board meeting held April 14th, 2025. Board action directed board staff to reach out to Mr. Pandrich to provide information concerning the payment process and inquires if he would like to continue the process of his application or formally withdraw his application. As of this morning, board staff have not received a response. And again, touching on the fact that he did have within his reinstatement application, he had asterisks appearing on his fingerprint clearance card. So initially, before the last board meeting, we reached out. We just wanted to follow up if there was a disclosure, if he had disclosed to the board. We did our due diligence and researched. We couldn't find any information. So again, following up, we attempted to reach out to Mr. Pandrich again. Is there any questions?
So, can you remind us, the last thing we heard from him was the his request to withdraw his reinstatement application, is that correct?
Well, he was asking, yes, and he was asking for a refund. But once board staff initiate the process and start to process an application, you know, once you submit the application, we do not issue a refund. And I did specify that in our communication.
Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
And I did ask if he wanted to continue with his application or if he wanted to formally withdraw his application, but he's not responding.
Mm-hmm. If I'm recalling, the conversation was that we were wanting the allotted amount of time to pass where his application was active. And is it my understanding that now at this point, that time period has passed, so his application is no longer active? And if so, does that even require any action or voting from the board?
We brought it before the board for review. I mean, you can issue, we reached out with multiple inquiries, but we brought it before the board because we're not receiving any responses.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, members of the board, and please, Shana and Carrie, correct me if I misspeak at all, but my recollection is that you gave him additional time so that board staff could inform him that despite his request to withdraw or a refund, we simply don't have the statutory authority. So his application needs to move forward, and it's currently deficient because he doesn't have a unrestricted fingerprint clearance card. Is everything I just said close to correct?
That's correct, Mr. Harris. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think the decision, and again, Shana, please correct me if I'm wrong, is probably now to entertain a motion to deny his application for failure to meet the minimum requirements. If he disagrees in any way, or if this, you know, gets his attention to, you know, reach out to Carrie or Shana, that's great. He is entitled to a hearing on the board's decision to deny his application. That, of course, will be up to him to request it. But at some point, the board just has to, you know, move forward with his application.
Correct, Mr. Harris. Thank you.
And we did send a formal invite for the meeting today.
And then he was deficiency notice when again? I just wanted to see if we are where we're at with the period that his application would, you know, automatically be. I forget the term for it, but due to his deficiency, his application would no longer be valid. So there is a time frame there.
He was deficiency notice on January 15th.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, so we're well on that. Yeah, I mean, I think we've given him the extra time and stuff like that. So in kind of in line with what Mr. Harris has said, you know, at this time I make a motion to deny Todd Fandrick's reinstatement application. Let me just re-pull up the agenda so I have the number. I said ATR 000942, due to a deficiency regarding information tied to his fingerprints clearance card at this time.
This is Susie. I second that motion.
It's been, excuse me, moved and seconded to deny Todd Fandrich, ATR 000942, due to deficiency on the information on his fingerprint clearance card. Those in favor?
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Seth Myers?
Aye.
Susie Squires?
Aye.
Joanna Urquijo? Joanna Urquijo?
Sorry, I couldn't get my mic on. Aye.
Thank you.
So it has been moved, seconded, and approved to deny the application for Mr. Todd Fandrich. And I'm assuming, Ms. Shana, that you will reach out to him to let him know that status.
Yes, thank you. We will send him a denial letter with his, as Mr. Harris stated, his rights to a hearing should he decide to move forward or to reach out to board staff.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 8, Kyler Martinez, ATTL 100045, temporary athletic trainer, disclosure. And Ms. Ganatra, will you give us an overview, please?
Thank you, Ms. Ingram. If I may pass it over to Ms. Watkins, just for a brief overview.
Ms. Martinez's initial application was reviewed during the January 6th board meeting for a disclosure. At the time, Ms. Martinez had not completed all court-ordered requirements. The board decided to issue a temporary license, which was issued January 29, 2025, and expired April 29, 2025. Ms. Martinez completed the court-ordered requirements. Ms. Martinez provided the community service work verification form included in the packet and a receipt for paid court fines. And she is attending the meeting this morning.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Carey. Ms. Martinez, is there any further information you'd like to share with the board this morning?
No, there's no further information that I'd like to provide.
Okay. Thank you for attending. Are there any further questions from the board? Okay, if not, I will entertain a motion, please.
If I may, as a reminder to all board members that this application was approved at its last meeting, that Kyler Martinez was seen for a temporary license. And so the review is now for full licensure of the application based on information provided. You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Shana.
This is Susie. I motion to approve the license for Kyler Martinez 100045 as presented now that the final requirements are met and shared with board staff.
This is Joe. I second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the full licensure for Ms. Kyler Martinez, ATTL 100045. All those in favor?
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Seth Myers.
Aye.
Susie Squires.
Aye.
Joanna Urquijo.
Aye.
It's been moved, seconded, and approved to full licensure for Ms. Kyla Martinez. Ms. Martinez, thank you very much for your attendance, and thank you for keeping this board up to date.
Of course. Also, just a quick question. Am I allowed to practice today now that it is approved, or do I have to wait until?
Ms. Martinez, board staff will reach out to you, so you do need to wait until it is administratively processed. It was just approved at the board, so we just need to process it administratively. And then once it is, typically same day or next day, we'll get to it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And then you'll be issued a license. You're welcome.
Okay, moving on to item 9, review, discussion, and possible action for board business reports. And that I will turn over to Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Ms. Ingram. So I will move to 9A, which is board member replacement. So this was a matter that's been standing at every board meeting. We're still awaiting to determine when that will occur. I know that boards and commissions is working through the process. So I'm hoping to get further updates in future meetings. So I will keep you all updated. Okay, then I will move on to 9B, which is discussion regarding license certificates. So at the meeting last month, it was requested of the board by the association to determine if there may be a possibility of going to printed licenses. And so just as an inform to all, historically, since I don't know if our new board members as well know the process that occurred with the governor's office, but we were moved to Thentia actually prior to my start here with the board as a way to go all electronic and as an initiative by the previous governor to have better access to certificates and wallet cards. And that is best stated as, printed material typically takes quite a bit of time to get to an individual's house. So the length of time that it took to actually arrive was a determining factor, it appears, that, in a way where the governor's office wanted everyone to go all electronic and move us to a system that allowed that to be easily accessed. Therefore, those wallet cards and certificates, when I make that approval, they are immediately issued in the system. And that was, like I mentioned, as a way to make it more accessible for all that are getting licensed, so they don't have to wait for the mail. That being said, it is a significant cost savings to the board to not have to purchase postage and letters and cardstock, etc., that requires the need for printing and labels to mail out individual certificates and wallet cards. This is a more cost-saving method that a lot of boards have moved towards. So it's not something, you know, we considered in terms of consider mailing out licenses and certificates at this time. It's something I bring to the board just so that you can provide some further discussion as needed. We did do a test of the actual license certificate to determine what it looks like, and we were able to see that it's quite clear, and that if an individual were to purchase license certificate paper, for instance, cardstock, et cetera, that they could, or parchment paper, they could in itself replicate that certificate in a way that's clear and concise, and allow to meet the standards that are to be posted, you know, in the facilities, et cetera. So feel free to, you know, I'm opening it up for discussion if there's anything more, questions, concerns.
This is Susie. I have some discussion, I think. Thanks for sharing that. I'm not sure that licensees are notified when their license is updated in the system for them to go and download it. And I think if that's not in place, and that's an ability that we can do, whether it's in the system or it's staff driven, I would highly request that, because I think the system and having easy access is successful when that's communicated very promptly as well to the licensees so that they can access it. And then my second thought would be, I would want the board to consider whether or not we can do an optional printed license program. I know there are some boards that, and not many, that still do fully printed license. I know that there's many that do fully electronic. And I know that there's some realms, not specific to state licenses, where they might do an optional hard copy license printing that includes like that foil seal, but with a given fee. So I would want to see, I think, one, what other board members think, but then also from the staff, if we could request some more information specifically, like you mentioned, the cost of materials, but maybe having some objective numbers on, okay, what the cost of materials has been, including the paper, toner, postage, envelopes, but then also kind of labor hours as well. How much time does it take a staff member to print it, to put those together and whatnot? And then that would at least put us in a knowledge-based situation where the board could look at, here's what costs have been or would be. I would probably not assume that if we did an optional thing, it would be a 100% opt-in. I think now we probably have a large cohort of people who are used to having the electronic version. So I don't know how we would be able to determine that other than like a survey or doing like a pilot program where we test kind of doing an opt-in with that. But then I think having those objective figures would allow us to determine, okay, what amount should we set a fee at so that we're recouping the costs at minimum. Obviously, we wouldn't want to do that and then be adding costs to us, I think, you know, but there might be a happy medium. So that's my proposal to the board for discussion.
I agree, Ms. Squires. I think that's a great suggestion. I will say, just for your first point, that we do have an email that goes out to an individual when they're approved. So it does state you have successfully completed the online renewal process. Your online renewal has been submitted for renewal and has been approved. That being said, though, it's not the language that we had asked Dentia to put in. So I will follow back up and see. I think they're waiting to push all the configurations, because another part of the language is that it shows them how to access their license certificate and wallet card, which I think is really important for someone to know once they've been approved. So we'll make sure that language is cleaned up. I just don't know when they'll push it to production, because like I mentioned, they've been working in the systems. So I don't know how long that will take. It's taken some time for even them to do minor changes. That also being said, I actually may pull in Mr. Harris just for some guidance, because I know some boards do that specific statement that you mentioned about printing at a cost. It does need to be written in our statutes and rules. And I believe some agencies are utilizing the duplicate certificate or license charge as a way to, I guess, not circumvent, that's not the right word, to address that, you know, ability to charge at a fee for a license certificate that's printed. Mr. Harris, I don't know if that's something the board can consider or if we need to go through a rule change or a statute change.
Yeah, if it's cost that the board is going to need to pass on to the licensee, that would require a statutory change. And one of the things that we would need to do in order to accomplish that is to demonstrate what the additional fees would be in order to justify increasing.
Okay,
understood. Mr. Harris, to my first question, though, in regards to a duplicate license fee, is that something that a board can utilize as a way to assist in this process without having to go to, through the statutory process, or is that not
necessary? Anytime that there's a fee, yeah.
Okay, understood, and I had a feeling you would say that.
Yeah.
Which takes time. Statute changes can take over a year or more.
So based on the gravity of that, are we able to obtain the information to see whether or not that's worthwhile going down that path? Like, do we have the ability to survey our membership, our licensees? Say, you know, we get 15% of people who say that would be what they would want to do, then we could determine, okay, is that the percentage needed to proceed with any action in the first place? Can we survey licensees?
Yeah, Ms. Carr, something similar to like an open public comment or something, but more so just, I guess, or you're asking like an email communication, maybe put out a SurveyMonkey survey or something, requesting if it's of interest of those to get a physical license if they were to pay, is what I'm kind of hearing. Yeah, okay.
What would that look like? Have we done that before with anything? And what would that look like if we tried to do that?
We have never surveyed, to my knowledge, but that doesn't mean we couldn't. We do have SurveyMonkey as a use for our statutes and rules exams, so I can't imagine why we couldn't set something up to request, you know, comments from individuals about specifically for licenses.
Okay, well, I'd like to hear. I think what Cheryl and Joanna and Seth, what y'all think.
I think the survey is a good idea. One thing that I want, like, I know you say that there's an email that goes out when licenses get approved, but even like when I submitted my own license, I did not receive such an email and I just like had to keep checking. So we can like verify that that's actually happening. That would be great.
Yeah, I can take a look actually, and I'm in the email records just to see. And once again, it's a good point, Mr. Kehoe. So If the settings in the email are not accepting the emails from Thentia, that's another reason why that could have happened. If your email, for instance, isn't, or you don't whitelist Thentia's email, and I believe Thentia's email is like support@thentia.com or something like that, then you're not going to receive those types of communications. So we're only subject to what, you know, is received by an individual's email. Sometimes if you're using your university email, for instance, it does block those types of email communications. We did find out an EDU or a work email, for instance, they're pretty high security. Historically, we've suggested using a personal email, and if this doesn't apply to you, understood, but this could apply to others. Using like a personal email is a much better way of getting email communications in the future from Thentia system. Since once again, we're only subject to Thentia system. And I'll take a look and see what happened with yours specifically, but I think I do see here December 11th, that it went to your email. It just says renewal approved. So if maybe we can just touch base even after just to see what happened and configure, but it does show in our system it was sent, which it's nice that we have that, but it doesn't mean you received it. It just means that it was sent and it could have been blocked by, I don't know, some firewall or something. And I should just add, I've asked Thentia, how do we combat that? Because it sadly, we don't know until it happens. And by then it's like, they don't receive the communication and it's not necessarily their fault. They don't know to whitelist or their agent, their organization won't allow it. Or once again, they just didn't see it or it went in their spam. And Thentia just says, inform them to check their spam, that there's nothing really more we can do.
So.
So is there any further discussion regarding the licenses that we can help Mashina and give her some direction? So Ms. Shannon, can we make this a future agenda item? And if you could take a look and do a little bit of research on the Survey Monkey and see what that would entail, and then maybe with some costs so that we can have a little more information, just quick costs, nothing, you know, concrete, but what we might look into. Is there anything else that the board would like her to research, and then we'll add this as a future agenda item?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank okay, you. Ms. Dean, did we give you enough information?
Thank you, Ms. Ingram. Thank you, board members. Yes, you did. I will return with that information so we can go from there.
Thank you.
Okay, then I will move on to 9C, which is bills to watch. Just as I mentioned prior, it's just an inform. It's a way for you to take a look at what's out there in regards to bills. To my knowledge, none of these have been signed by the governor's office at this time. I'll keep you updated as things progress or if necessary to review any specific bill. And once again, if there's one in particular you found that is necessary for us to vote on as a board, please bring it to my attention and we can bring it to the next board meeting.
I do have a question, and like you said, I know they have not been signed into action yet, but the SB 1235 that was about the replacement of board members, or it's pertaining to several different boards and several different procedures, and I know there's a section that talks about for the Board of Athletic Training if the governor fails, this is current language on the bill that I'm reading, if the governor fails to fill the vacancy within 1 year, the board may then fill the public member position by a majority vote. I think my only question with that is just if we assume that that were to potentially get signed into place, is there any timeline we should be aware of or like prepared for? That way it doesn't, you know, hit us all of a sudden and we're at that time point. Like, I'm not too sure when the 1 year mark is from the vacancies that we're currently trying to fill, but that would be helpful.
That's a great question, Ms. Squire. So, and I know this is a bit of a, what is the term? I was talking with other directors and it seems to be a bit of a kind of a split of individuals who favor it and individuals who don't. And the reason being is we are not currently Senate confirmable agencies. There are a couple that are a handful, which means that when Senate is in session, that they would vote on the board members, and that's only once a year. So in that way, it would take some time for individuals to get appointed. So that being said, you are correct, that time frame would increase and would cause further delay, especially for those who are waiting on public members, which is very difficult to fill. So it's a really good point in that everyone's monitoring closely, because like I said, they're divided. Some think it's a great idea to, you know, allow a board to vote in individuals when the Senate takes quite a bit of time. But with this bill passing, it would turn our board into a Senate confirmable board, which we are not currently. So when individuals are appointed, and I'm sure you recall your process was, you know, once you were appointed, it was simple and quick, but it's just the background check and all that stuff takes some time, or, you know, the process of getting you through. With Senate confirmable, it's the background check, the fingerprint clearance card. They must be confirmed by DPS and then they must be voted in through Senate. And I don't know specifics since we've never been a board as such, but there's a lot more involved. So this was allowing the board to take control back in their hands if something like this took quite a bit of time. But it is a bit like a catch-22 where now we would be pushed into Senate confirmable, which we never were. So now we do have added steps, but then they're giving that back to us within 1 year. So that ability to vote into it. So I don't know how this will turn. It's putting it back in the board's hands, but really the board has never been opining on individuals joining the board. It's the governor's office, not the board itself that it would appoint. So that kind of gives some conflict to it as well. So there's a lot of things there's a lot of things at play here. But to answer your specific question, I believe it's the date of when they pass their fingerprint or their background checks, or et cetera, is from that date 1 year later. So that would significantly mm-hmm. slow us down in terms of appointments.
Okay.
So my hope is that if they do pass this bill, and then it is signed by the governor's office, if it is, then we get better direction. But then also those that are still on the board may consider staying, you know, until we get appointments, if that's the case.
Okay.
I hope that cleared up a bit. Yeah, you're very welcome.
Yep.
And I keep my eyes and ears peeled, and I continue to ask the directors what's going on, and I also check on AZLEG. But there's some directors that are able to go to Senate and House and keep checking on bills, and you know, because they have the capacity and more staff, et cetera. So I kind of loop myself in with them to see what are they seeing. So I'll keep you all updated as things progress. Any other questions on 9C? Okay, then I will move on to 9D, which is Executive Director's Report under one. So we have financial review. So, Ms. Watkins did put in the most recent financial report in there, and she's happy to answer any questions. We continue to remain in the black. We are able to make determinations soon in terms of where we will land the end of fiscal year, and hopefully we'll find out by the end of next month, if not sooner, of what our budget will look like for the next fiscal year. Okay, I'm not sure there's no other questions, then I'll move on to 9D2, which is review of recent board staff activities. So I did want to add a quick note that it had come to my attention that a letter had been circulating around with the board members. And so I did provide an email to discuss that, you know, that potentially could have violated open meeting law, and that to please direct anything to me. That being said, the individual who did submit that letter out, who oversees GAO and CSB, we do plan to provide a response. I do have quite a bit of documentation that I'm planning to provide in my response, to the letter, and then to provide it to the next board meeting. So that will be in June. And then from there, we can further discuss based on that. And then in regards to Centia, we have been putting in about, I wanna say approximately 60 tickets that we put in that are still open. And so just to kind of give the board and board members an awareness, we've been asked to sign off on Centia and make payments, and the system is not yet complete. So we have been fighting for Centia, against Cynthia, excuse me, for the board to ensure that everything is received. We still don't have historical information. We still don't have attachments. And so these meetings that we've been doing to configure have been very helpful. Centia and ADOA Asset is trying to push all boards to just make payment and move forward. And, you know, we fight quite a bit to ensure that the systems are working as they should. As a few examples that I've shared with the chair and with the vice chair is that we see things where I'll make an approval to a license, and then because of the time difference in Centia versus here in Arizona, the license will not process. And this is, we're not the only board facing this. And so we're doing approvals one by one by one, and the licenses are not actually issuing. So then I have to go back in and administratively adjust them, because it's not the individual's fault that the system is not working properly. Another issue that we face is that we would approve a license, and this is actually for the OT board. So I'm just giving you an example. The last one was for AT. This is for OT, but who knows if this is also affecting AT. We're still investigating. We approved a license, and because there was two profiles for the individual, when the individual was merged, Centia did not properly merge them. So when I processed the license actually got issued to a latter date. So it ended up showing as 2017 to 2019 instead of 25 to 27. So things like this shouldn't be happening in a licensing system, but are. So we have been fighting back on making sure that they are properly processing and configuring our system. That being said, though, we were billed, and the bill was at the 15% discount, which was what we were honored and what we signed off on based on the fact that Centia has been having some issues So this was a year ago that we signed off on them agreeing to bill us. So we have not paid Ventia for that time because they are not to charge us until we were ready, the system was ready. But like I said, now they're pushing every board to just go and sign off, which my fear is when you sign off, if anyone's ever worked in a system, you'll be aware that they reduce a lot of their resources once they feel like the project is complete. They are not taking the board side on the project completion. They're taking it as they want to move forward and on because they don't have enough resources to finish the project or to continue with the project in the capacity that they do. We were confirmed by ADOA Asset that ADOA Asset, our internal state team, did not pull everything appropriately, and that was confirmed, in addition to Ventia not configuring it appropriately. So that's still occurring, and we're still having major changes. It's just, like I said, they want us to sign off for payment. So I plan to bring the, I'll bring the invoice for the next meeting so everyone can take a look at it in June. But they would like payment before the end of fiscal year. But I do want all to know that we are fighting to ensure that we have an appropriate system before they remove our resources, because then they put us through the ticketing system. And the ticketing system in itself is a slower process with less people supporting it. Whereas right now we have a supportive team that is addressing things in real time. So these are the things that the board faces and battles, but you know, I'm happy to fight that battle for us because I think we deserve the best system and the most configured system. And these problems that are occurring shouldn't be occurring in a very basic licensing system, let alone, you know, to the complexity that Ventia should handle. So if there's any questions, let me know, but we'll continue to keep everyone in the loop on that as well. Okay, so in regards to the information on applications that we have remaining, I'm just going to pull that up to give you an idea. Currently, we have three initial applications submitted, 12 that are in deficient, and one in pending final approval by me. We have 23 renewals that have just been recently submitted, which it must be a renewals period of time again. 25 that are deficient, and 3 that are in pending final approval by me. And then for reinstatements, we have 1 that was submitted, we have 5 that are in deficient, and we have 1 that's pending final approval by me. So we continue to work through them, these applications as quickly as possible. And these applications, I believe the most recent one was submitted about a week or two ago. So we are on a good time frame in terms of application processing. And then in regards to OT and AT staffing, we continue to dedicate the time that's required to, oh, yes, Mr. Kehoe.
How's our turnover with like dry needling registrations, and how long does that usually take?
Thank you for asking. I did skip that. I apologize. We have 6 that are in pending currently. And so we're subject to our normal timeframes, which is 60 days to process a complete application. So with that too, we do deficiency notice for dry needling. So let's say, for instance, someone that submits something that's incorrect or not, you know, didn't provide the additional documentation, then we do provide that that deficiency notice to allow the individual time to provide it, that information. So that's the typical timeframe that we allot to any type of application. We attempt to go much faster, but as I brought up at previous meetings, dry needling does take time. We have to ensure that the information was received. We go, Ms. Watkins goes through each cover sheet. She goes through each document that's submitted to substantiate the cover sheet. And then she ensures that those qualifications are in there, you know, such as, you know, the minimum requirements for training and whatnot to ensure that everything is met. So once that's complete, then typically it doesn't take 60 days typically, but like I said, that's the allotted time frame that we have to process.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then, oh, in regards to the staffing, we've been, like I'd mentioned, we're also under the OT audit, so that takes time as well. So just keeping that in mind that we do utilize resources as necessary for that, for the audit as well. But then also, like I'd mentioned, when we had a staffing with a family emergency, we also utilize OT resources towards AT. So we have the ability to pull in and resources as necessary to support the needs. Okay, any other questions on board business? And I will move on then to 9D3, which is statistics. Currently we have 868 licensees and we have 7 active consent agreements, of which the next 2 are due on May 6th and May 31st. So they will be reviewed at the June meeting. All right, and I'll pass it back to you, Ms. Ingram, if there's no other questions.
Thank you, Ms. Shana. We are to item 10, call of the public. Do we have any public online?
I don't believe so, Ms. Ingram.
Okay, so moving on to item 11, future agenda items. Outside of the license printing, are there any other future agenda items that we'd like to have on for next meeting?
Yes, Ms. Ingram, board members, just the response to the letter that was circulated will be a board agenda item for next month.
Okay.
I'd like to curtail on that. I'd like to request that the board be given an opportunity to review, if appropriate, the letter before it's finalized and submitted on the board's behalf. And then secondarily, I'd like to request a separate future agenda item just regarding overall boards, financial oversight, just the internal controls, how we're informed of the administrative actions, especially relating to purchasing expenditures and our legal obligations as a board and the oversight. And I think it would just be valuable, you know, for us to revisit that, ensure we have the appropriate procedures, safeguards in place. And then, like I mentioned previously, I'd like to request either Ms. Ingram, you as sitting in the board chair position today, or just our board, consider calling a special meeting prior to the next scheduled meeting to allow for more timely discussion related to just expenditure and oversight and make sure that, you know, any operational or other implications are addressed timely. And then I would just request guidance on whether or not certain items should be discussed where it's deliberately independent with the board without staff present, if that would help with oversight and transparency when we're looking at our oversight. But again, I'm asking for guidance on that.
Okay. Because it's not on the agenda, it's certainly something that, you know, we will be able to, I will be able to work with Shana and the chair on getting it on the agenda and properly agendized based upon the request for future agenda items. And then you always have the ability to go into executive session for legal advice, but those will be, you know, agenda specific matters.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Ms. Squires, thank you. We've got down that information, so then we'll just move forward from there. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else on future agenda items? All right, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Joe. I move that we adjourn the meeting.
This is Susie. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Seth Myers?
Aye.
Susie Squires?
Aye.
Joanna Yerkehoe?
Aye.
We are formally adjourned at 10:21 a.m. on Monday, May